Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. Leilani Bigger is a veteran merchant with a depth of experience in department and specialty stores. As president of Northern Reflections, she has big ambitions for this iconic Canadian retailer. After leading Northern Reflections through the COVID era and out the other side, Leilani is preparing the organization for success and growth with new ownership and a fresh vision. We talk merchandising and assortment opportunities, the critical role of e-commerce, and explore her level of confidence in regional shopping malls as the place for her brand to live.
We don't see a huge change. We are still very much focused on bricks and mortar. It is the definitely the powerhouse behind the volumes that we do. We're not seeing a change to move away from that. In fact, we're looking, if wherever possible, to increase the number of stores that we have. We are really focused on getting awareness out there to get the best kept secret of Northern Reflections out into the marketplace.
Let's listen in now. Leilani, welcome to the Voice of Retail podcast. How are you doing this afternoon?
Doing just great, Michael. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It was, when was it? I think it was a press release announcing some executives that that got my attention. I'm like, wow, what a great opportunity to speak to someone so steeped in the retail industry, running such a brand. So I'm really happy that we could get you on the microphone.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you.
All right. Well, let's jump right in. For those who may not know you or know enough about you, tell us about yourself, your personal and professional journey, and what you do for a living.
Okay. Well, I've had an incredibly fulfilling career in retail for almost four decades. That part's really hard to believe. Right out of university, into a junior executive training program at Eaton's.
And
starting out in women's fashion in an iconic department store, it was a dream come true for me. The opportunities and the learnings that I had there, it was fast-paced, it was exciting, but most importantly, it really gave me a strong foundation in merchandising, which became my life passion. After the department store time, or during that time, a lot of new opportunities came my way, and I finally moved to the wonderful world of specialty retail. And it was opportunities for leadership roles in businesses like Comark and also in Dylex. And it was always a focus on private brand building. You might remember Daniel Hechter Day, a licensee that we had at Fairweather. All of this gave me an amazing opportunity. I got to travel the world, source fabrics and design and develop product. And it was at that time a focus on serving that growing women's wear market with the need for fashions to wear to work. During that time, Michael, along the way, I had phenomenal mentors, phenomenal leaders who prepared me for the role I have today as president of Northern Reflections.
Well, it sounds like, you know, sometimes I talk to people and they would frame it, retail, as an accidental career, but it sounds anything but for you. I mean, you launched into it right out of school. Was it, you know, if you take a couple of steps back, was it always a love of retail, or did that just one of several choices kind of appeal to you at the time? What was it like at that point in your life?
A classic story. I was a sales associate on the floor at Eaton's back in the day while I was at university. So I had my little part-time job, but I was planning to go into law. the Eaton's team was very aggressive in sourcing potential workforce in universities, and they established this junior executive training program, and I got into the junior executive training program, fell in love, and it was fast paced. I mean, I, as a very young person out of university, I was holding a pretty senior role in the company and got to do amazing and exciting things. My parents were a little disappointed that I didn't go into law, but I think that they felt good in the end where I landed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could say one thing about, you can say many things about retail, but one of the things is it is a meritocracy, right? The harder you work, like that old saying, the harder you work, the luckier you get. But you are able, and you're proof able to move up an organization based on your capabilities and accomplishments rather than tenure, for example, right?
Right. Exactly.
Right on. Well, let's talk about Northern Reflections. So, I can't imagine many folks listening to the podcast wouldn't know of the brand, but we're going to talk a lot more about the current state and the future state. But just lay the groundwork for us. Tell us a bit of the scope and the scale of the business, where you trade, and what makes you remarkable.
Okay, well, a couple of things. Just scope. The company today has 133 store locations. We're in traditional malls, power centers, community malls, and street fronts. And we were in all provinces across the country, with the exception of Quebec, and we're not in the territories. And that's our bricks and mortar size. We have a very exciting, growing e-commerce business. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. But I wanted to just share something with you about when I joined the company. My first role here was as vice president of merchandising. And boy, we had a lot of work to do at that time to revitalize what had been a very successful and very well-known brand of casual clothing. Everybody knew of Northern Reflections,
sure,
to your point.
Sure.
It was in all malls, in at the 50-yard line, center court, if you please, in malls, very well known. And it was the place to go for fleece and casual bottoms and denim. In that time, though, there was this influx of new retail entering Canada. We had so many new retailers and the growth of stores and growth of malls, period. We had to really take a look at where we were in the marketplace and redefine our position. And I have to tell you, it took a lot of time to figure out where we needed to go. And there was trial and error for sure along the way. The junior market and career dressing was really crowded. And they were crowded with great brands.
Yeah.
And we really had to, what we recognized really was that our customer as well was entering the workforce. So what did we really need to do to continue to maintain our strong position? How much did we have to change? So there was months and months of surveys and analysis and focus groups, testing, and as I said before, a lot of trial and error. But what we really began to learn was that there was a specific underserved market, and that target was not being serviced by the junior retailers. It was not really being serviced well enough for that career dressing crowd. And what we learned then, and what is still important to her today, is simply easy to care, good quality, versatile clothing that fits her body shape. And that's kind of where we trade, what we do, and where we are today.
Talk a little bit about your experience just at that moment where you came in charge of merchandising. The different perspectives, or the different, if any, different ways you'd approach it versus a department store, right? Which would look at a broader set of good, better, best, and they would look at a broader set of customers, but still would try to address pockets of opportunity. Now you're in a specialty retailer with a focus. So was that a different experience for you, or was there more skills for you to leverage from that broader experience in a department store?
Well, it was different for me from the department store era, but I had spent a lot of years in specialty. And in specialty, it's all about focus groups, talking to your customer, assessing the marketplace, who's doing what well. And as I mentioned, most importantly was identifying what was underserved. Because were we actually prepared or strong enough to change everything that the company had stood for at the time on casual and move into servicing career wear, and what really was needed in the marketplace? So it was similar to what I had been to before, but just a lot more intense. And we came to bigger conclusions and better conclusions for Northern today.
Right on, right on. So I guess it set, in some ways, set the groundwork for where you are today. So let's get to current events.
Okay.
You know, you've been with Norman Reflections for some pretty tumultuous years. Interesting, when I page back a little bit, you had a huge, you know, you had Target coming to Canada, which I'm sure shook up the category. Yes. A little bit, and that came and went. But let's talk about the COVID era. Now, you had this business went through restructured in 2021, right in the heart of the COVID era. And let's talk about where you are today and what that looks like. You know, what the business looks like structurally, and talk about what solid ground looks like, and then we'll get into kind of how you're feeling about the assortment and where you think it's going to go.
Okay, terrific. As with most retail companies, obviously there was just massive change to all aspects of the business coming out of that first year of COVID. And we were a pretty nimble team, pretty flexible team. We just had to also think differently. And the very first thing that we had to do was find investors that recognize the value of this brand and were able to envision what the future growth opportunities were. And I have to say, we're very fortunate because we have just that with Jamco. They really are an extension of our team. They trust and allow Northern Reflections leadership to run the business, but their great value is how they motivate and inspire us by offering strategic guidance and ideation. Which is very inspiring. They truly understood what was remarkable about Northern Reflections. And, you know, that we talk a lot about what's remarkable with Northern Reflections pre-COVID and now as are coming out of COVID and moving forward. And it does go back to it's really three things. It goes back to the heritage of the brand, comfortable, easy to care clothing. With all that research I talked about, everything that we did to learn about what was important to the customer, it always remained the same. We also have a product design and development process and team here in Canada and Asia that are truly amazing. They understand what are this demographic wants, what's important to her and what she needs. And last piece, really important, is it's the loyalty of our customers and the dedication of our employees. And this is going to be very interesting. We have a lot of people who have been with this company for many years. And just a quick statistic that would be interesting is that the headquarters, we have 16-year is the average tenure.
Wow.
And even bigger than that, or more exciting than that, is the average tenure in stores is 10 years. It's a pretty amazing
huge.
Statistic.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge.
So, you know, thinking about post, as you said, about your question about where are we structure coming through COVID, 2022 has really become an investment year, building on our foundation and making important investments. And that, the big one, includes building a world-class executive team. We needed people who would bring diverse experience to us and be culturally aligned to help us drive the strategic initiatives that are going to accelerate our growth. Recent hires, let me talk to you about that. It's pretty exciting. The hires that we chose really signify that opportunity for us to shift into growth mode again, where we weren't, obviously, during COVID.
Yeah.
We're making investments in key areas, and these areas are supported by the roles that we filled and the skill that we brought in. So we have a new senior vice president of planning and logistics, Marianne Darling. She comes to us with tons of experience in the Canadian and in some global workspace as well. A new CFO to the company, Hans Baljando, who has, again, years of experience in Canada and in the kind of marketplaces that we're in. And then really exciting is a brand new role for the company. We did not have this in the past. Senior Vice President of Customer Experience, Chief Marketing Officer. And that's Carolyn Coles Devine, who brings a tremendous amount of operational experience in the digital field, which is critical for us. So this group in addition to the unbelievable executives that we have today, dedicated, loyal, smart people, is going to help us get through what we need to get through to growth, come up with the ideas, and build on the strengths that we have today. Just one more little tidbit that may be of interest to your listeners is over 80% of our leadership is female.
Fantastic.
Strong female team.
Yep. Fantastic. Let me pull on a few threads from what you're describing.
Sure.
You know, you've been in this industry, not unlike myself, for a long time, and I've seen, you know, domestic manufacturing very strong, move completely offshore. Are you any way considering, given what's going on and what we know now to be an ongoing challenge with supply chain, does it give you any second thought about where you source your product from? Is there any? I've talked to executives, and many would say, yeah, yes and no. Maybe there's a continental strategy, but it's a little difficult because it's hard to get away from source materials, for example. But
right.
Are you giving pause, or are you giving thought to these days, even just how you buy, like, you know, more safety stock, less, you know, less just in time? There's so much uncertainty. Just to talk about that. It must come up around the table more than once an hour.
I'm sure. Exactly, it does. We are constantly revisiting the approach, and we have quite a solid balance of how much is the core product, what amount of the assortment is core, that is ongoing, that's basic, with fabrications that continue, but we're constantly updating color, we're updating shape and style as the trends change. But core product is a big piece for us. What I will say to you, though, is we are definitely, as one of our key initiatives is looking to increase our position in Canadian made product. We've always had domestic manufacturing, but it has decreased over the years, sure, for sure. But we are rebuilding, we're reaching out to manufacturers that we've worked with in the past. We've also met with new people. We are looking to grow Canadian made. It is important. Our customers recognize it. Our customers ask for it. Is this made in Canada?
I was going to say, I spent a bunch of years at Hudson's Bay. So, you know, we would debate often the relevance, you know, differentiation of relevance on a matrix, the relevance of Canadian made in Canada, being Canadian. And, you know, we would watch, you know, global companies come and be quickly adopted by consumers. So we would always debate that. But you think that's been maybe somehow accentuated by the times, or how are you thinking about that?
No, I do believe it has been accentuated by the times. And then there is the other point of view, which is with all the length of time getting things across the ocean, the
pragmatic
delays with,
yeah,
yes,
yeah,
exactly, is we are identifying what products can be best made in Canada. How I can't really tell you how much of a shift there is going to be into Canadian made, but it is top of mind for us. We will still be, for the most part, sourcing out of Asia.
Sure, sure.
And let's see how that evolves over the next number of years.
Yeah, right on. All right, so we don't want to dwell on this whole COVID. We're kind of in the post-COVID era of retail. We're certainly past, let's all hope, lockdowns and other constraints and the intensity, but it's still around a little bit. Our prime minister would probably tell us that today. Now, have you had the time, you and the team at the time, such an experienced team, to sit and reflect on the impacts to the retail structurally? Like, I perceive, you know, there's a lot of changes we as consumers made during the COVID era that were just accommodations. But as you sit back and think about, okay, what just happened? And have you noticed, you do a lot of research, have you noticed any different perspectives? We've talked about Canadian made. Anything else come to mind and how you're thinking about the consumer today and the structure of retail today?
We don't see a huge change. We are still very much focused on bricks and mortar. It is the definitely the powerhouse behind the volumes that we do. We're not seeing a change to move away from that. In fact, we're looking, if wherever possible, to increase the number of stores that we have. We are really focused on getting awareness out there to get the best kept secret of Northern Reflections out into the marketplace. We know that we have a huge opportunity to expand further awareness of our brand to both, you know, just to engage our existing customer and to really get into new communities that we're not in today and build on our iconic heritage. We aren't seeing major changes other than the ongoing growth of e-com. So even though we are firmly rooted in bricks and mortar, customers are shopping differently. There is no question about that. Our customer has totally embraced digital shopping, and we're very, very fortunate with our new CMO because she is got a tremendous amount of experience in that field. So we need to improve some of our store experience. What does that
look like for you when you say improve store experience? Is that a service level?
It's seamless opportunity. We did a lot of this during COVID, where we became experts at curbside shopping, buy online, pick up in store. Really, all of those things came out of COVID. They were there. We're just growing it. For example, new stores will be built with more space for packages, more space for receiving inventory, being able to fulfill from stores so that the customer doesn't have to wait. We're working hard to make it seamless. And the opportunity of all that was what we experienced through the tough times in COVID. Right. It gave us new ways of looking. So those are the things that we really see as change for the better or improved store experience.
And that's a hard thing, right? Retrofitting, particularly in community mall-based stores. You don't have a lot of room in the back. They're not designed, you know, many of us spent a lot of our careers trying to eliminate the back of the house as much as possible. Now we find this whole, you know, integration accounts for more space than less. Let's follow that thread a little bit about consumer behavior. So, you know, browsing versus shopping. But from your perspective and your CMO's perspective, when she gets to the store, you know, I think about social media, I think about influencers. You're on Insta and Facebook, for example. How big a role is that starting to play in your marketing mix than it was before? Do you perceive an increase in commitment to social media and influencers and Instagrammable images and all that stuff? Like, what kind of resources are you thinking about putting towards that?
Short answer is a resounding yes. It's going to be much bigger. adding that role of CMO is definitely an important part of the strategy to really maximize broader array of tactics. We have been very email driven and social for sure, but not to the extent that we are going to be. It's a huge opportunity for us. We're going to be, in addition to more resources, adding more resources to our marketing team to be able to do as many as possible posts and communication on Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. We're going to do a creative redesign of the brand. We're going to redesign the Northern Reflections website with more omni-channel features. Just a couple of examples. A new merchandising system that it'll allow us to showcase personalized products to our customer. Enhanced photography would be another one. And we haven't done it yet, but we're moving forward toward, we're experimenting right now with video. A little bit of that is going to maybe narrow the gap between an experience in store versus an experience online, bring it to life in a way. So that requires people and systems, and we're investing in all of that.
It's also cultural, do you find as well, right? I mean, there's a cultural element to things like social media and hybrid retail that really, I mean, you've got store associates, but basically working a store for like a decade. Now, how do you inculcate that modern culture? I guess COVID in some ways, you know, said, hey, we got to change. So I guess if there's anything to come out of COVID, it's the impetus for change. Is that how you talk about it from a cultural perspective with the people?
Yeah. Our store teams fully embrace being able to even post themselves and have store groupings, do posts on Facebook. And they absolutely embrace using mobile, a customer shopping, coming in and shopping with them, pre-browsing goes on. And you touched on, what have we seen in terms of behavior? It's interesting. It's during COVID, and when customers were actually able to come back into stores, it was interesting to watch those quick visits. There, it was very clear that they were browsing online before they came in, and they really knew exactly what they wanted to buy when they entered into the store. And their interaction with the store associate, they knew where in this. They knew what they were looking for. They were able to call it by the name, the description, the collection. It was really interesting. They were coming in. They were very, very focused. And good news is the average sale was much higher than what we were experiencing pre-COVID per customer, because she knew what she wanted before she even came in. Then she got into the fitting room and the associate starts to show her more product. And it's just a great, great experience for everyone. But what we also noticed, which was extremely encouraging, is we saw a big increase in that customer shopping across multiple channels. We have a shop by phone opportunity as well for our customers. It's a great service for her. Shop by phone for her is another way of bridging the gap of online only, no personal interaction, and personal interaction all the way to being in the store. It's quite a fantastic service for our customer.
Well, you've got that such tremendous advantage because I mentioned influencers. I mean, the people in your store are the best influencers you're ever going to have, right? It's how to have some kind of force multiplier to get them without and outside of those four walls in some way, shape, or form, right?
You nailed it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just one other thing on that whole, change for us. We're really adding some foundational pieces to marketing that we have not done. Affiliate programs would be an example. You touched on influencers. We've done a little bit of it in the past, but we're really taking that to the next level. And even just something as simple as public relations, getting the name out.
Right. Let's talk last couple of questions. We talk about this modern store, its role, which is now, vastly more complex in some ways. Are you measuring stores and the success of stores differently? I mean, it used to be fairly straightforward, sales per square foot or whatever kind of metrics. But are you contemplating different measurements, influencing measurements, customer acquisition measurements? Are those things kind of starting to percolate around from a metrics perspective?
Definitely. I will say, though, as a grounding, we still look at store performance. The key factor is store profitability.
That's first thing you talk about on the conference call. I mean, that's the first thing, right?
Exactly. But the tracking that we had on sales per square foot is a less critical today. It is more about overall volume. It is about new customer acquisition. We have a very mature loyalty program. The Northern Friends Rewards Program was established back in 2000, and it is highly valued by our loyal customer. And we are taking it to the next level this year and into 2023. We're going to build on it. It's just to enhance it and make it easier for her to shop, easier for her to be rewarded or to earn and then to be rewarded. It is really important. That's another measure of success, is the growth of the loyalty program. Right. So success is measured in new ways, but there's still that basic, is the store making money?
Right. Yeah. We don't want to get too far away from that. We're watching some of these newfangled brands kind of try different metrics, and eventually it all comes down to, you got to put the numbers on the wall, right?
So true.
You've got a mix of locations, as you described, and as I go through your store locator, you're in some standalone, some in malls for sure. Do you have the same amount of confidence in your physical footprint? You've got hybrid work now, so less people downtown, more people living where they work, so to speak. What's your temperature on community shopping malls? How's the traffic? And they certainly struggled mightily. Even the big folks struggle mightily with less commuters. But are you still committed to shopping malls, or you still see them a big piece? And talk about that for a little bit.
Definitely still committed to shopping malls. We're not in downtown malls. Haven't been in many, many years. We're suburban and community, to your point, community centers. Our customers really spend time in community centers, and she probably spends about the same amount of time as she would in one of the expansive regional centers, but she really enjoys that convenience of a short drive to the destination, the opportunity to shop and socially visit with our store teams. I have to tell you, we're very proud of that. But many of our store managers know our customers on first name basis, and they know each other. But she uses the time in the community malls. She might be getting her driver's license renewed, or she could be doing some grocery shopping. Maybe she's having lunch with a friend. So we still do see, for the target customer that we are servicing, community mall, easy access, street front, power center are still growth opportunities for us. Of course, as we expand our shop online and pick up in store and all of those things, we are going to be building that into the stores, as we spoke about about a minute ago. Yeah. And that model does appear to work best for us in the future. We're also hearing a lot about, we've not stepped into it yet, but more community malls that are having large developments going up around them.
Yeah.
With condos and live work space and all of those kinds of things. That also is very appealing and very interesting for us. She won't have to travel. She won't have to be spending that money on gas that we're all talking about too much these days. Yeah. But we're a community center is still important to us, as are suburban malls.
Well, I feel like we've just basically scratched the surface. But last question for you: what's next for you and the team? I mean, it's a kind of a funny question because everything's next. You're really in a build mode. But for the rest of how are you feeling for the rest of the year? Or what are your big priorities between now and the next period of time, reasonable period of time, as we can see in the future? Is it the growth of e-commerce? Is it kind of the cementing? I mean, there's a lot. You've got a lot of moving parts. What rises to the surface for you?
Yeah, I have a couple of things I can share with you. First and foremost, very positive. We're really doing well right now. We're very pleased with our customers' love of the product that we have in our stores today and her enjoyment of being back in stores. But we're still really, really growing on e-com. So good news on all of those fronts. We touched on a little bit, the expanding the Canadian Made program is definitely something that we are building and we're going to get into in a more significant way. We're also looking at an increase of what we would call curated product extensions. That would be examples would be both gender and youth expansions for seasonal periods on limited edition items, styles for men's and kids. And the kids piece is kind of a natural progression for us because we were in children's wear. I don't know if you remember the Northern Getaway brand back it was in the 90s. Our customers have grown up with us. Many of them shopped there for themselves and now it's for their children or maybe even their grandchildren. So we're starting limited edition and some expansions and we'll see where it goes. Excited about it though. It's exciting and our customers are really responding and coming in and saying, wow, this is great. I can get this matching PJs for my daughter, for myself, and for my grandson or my granddaughter. It's terrific. A lot of passion around that. Talked a lot about talked a bit about the Northern Traditions brand. It's petite and regular fits. And Northern Traditions is going to allow our customer to evolve with us through really the design and the fit of the products to fit a little bit more of a mature woman's body shape change, and really respecting that as an important need. We are looking also, this is a little bit of a smaller piece, we're looking, at featuring more products from our heritage, looking at those inspirational favorite styles and most loved designs from our heritage. So that's a growth opportunity for us. And last but not least, it's an interesting one to share, is talked a little bit. We have an amazing, talented in-house design team. They create unique collections, unique designs, exclusive prints and patterns. And what's next for them is to be able to be comfortable to travel the world again, explore, get inspired. As their job is to determine the colors and the styles and the collections of seasons to come. And whilst you can do a lot of that online, there's nothing that replaces being on the streets and being, you know, out there.
Hard to discover new, right?
The world.
Hard to discover new vendors on Zoom, right? It's okay to manage.
You bet. But
it's tough.
Very exciting.
Well, listen, your enthusiasm is certainly contagious. It's quite an adventure, and sounds like some fantastic momentum coming out of the COVID era. So, listen, I wish you continued success, and thanks so much for taking time out of what I'm sure is a busy day to chat with me on the Voice of Retail. It was a real treat to hear the story, and we'll be watching. So thanks again for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Michael. Speak to you in future soon.
Thanks for tuning into this special episode of The Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and click and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically twice a week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, The Remarkable Retail Podcast, Conversations with Commerce Next Podcast, and The Food Professor Podcast with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my all-new YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media. And if you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Have a safe week, everyone.